Luke chapter 2. Of course, you ought to know Luke chapter 2 by heart, pretty much. And it tells the Christmas story, you know. And the Christmas story is the most told and retold and sold and stole story in history. There's no other story among men that's mentioned as much as the Christmas story. It's been told and retold. It goes all across the world, all across the globe. The Christmas story is recited over and over and over. And there's been attacked. It's attacked, it's ridiculed, it's condemned, it's mocked. And everything about it, every just fill in the blank. People have condemned it. They forbid it in our schools, all over the place. And yet it's the most beloved story we know. Years ago, Michelle's son, Taylor, wrote a poem that I remember he gave us. This called A Christmas Wish. The season of Christmas that we once used to know is no longer the same as it was years ago. When we walk in the stores, what is it we see? It's no longer a Christmas, but a holiday tree. Calling it Christmas makes people upset. They cause a commotion and pitch such a fit. The birth of our Lord has become obsolete. With today's new traditions, He just can't compete. We're proud of our presents that lie wall to wall, but we keep looking past the greatest gift of them all. We were given this gift such a long time ago, though it didn't have paper, a ribbon, or a bow. We were given a child, as it says in God's Word, His mother a virgin, but His father the Lord. He came to this world to save you and me. Is this not what the meaning of Christmas should be? This country we love, their red, white, and blue, has turned from her Savior and in His Word that is true. We all have our gifts that we wish for each season. Now it's time for America to remember the reason. My wish for this Christmas is so simple and small. It's a wish that will help us each one and all. I wish that this country would stand up and pray that we'd all turn our eyes back to Jesus today. Isn't that a beautiful poem? That's a great poem. And the Christmas story, it's still mankind's most beloved story. And it still brings a smile. It's still being able to pass out gospel tracts and hold signs up. It brings a smile to people's face because it reminds them of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Despite all the commercialism and the decorations and all the lights and the gifts and all the hectic and the TV specials and the movies, it still, there's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Christmas story, make no mistake about it, it's a message of God's amazing love and redemption, what it's about. And take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, and you know, a couple of weeks ago we were watching TV, and Sarah Lee, of course, she likes cartoons. She likes to watch the cartoons. And me and Esther and Sarah, we were sitting there just watching it, and Charlie Brown Christmas special came on. And I hadn't seen it in years and years, or I may have not ever seen it, to be honest with you. I don't ever remember seeing it, watching it. But we were watching it with her. And part of the show is watching Charlie Brown gets his little old Christmas tree, you know. And he's kind of walking around. You know Charlie Brown, how he... And he says this in the show. He says, I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. And then he throws his arms up and has the mouth wide open and he says this loud and says, isn't there anyone that knows what Christmas is all about? And there's Linus. And Linus walks over there and he says, sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. And Linus walks in the middle of the stage real slow and he says, lights please. And he starts Luke chapter 2 verse 8. And they were in the country, same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace goodwill toward man. And Linus, when he gets through, he walks over to Charlie Brown. He said, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Would to God we had that in our churches today, don't you? That's a good message right there. But I want to preach a message and just kind of bore the words of my friend Linus. And I'm going to preach a message I want to call just, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Out of Luke chapter 2. And I want you to notice a few things about Luke chapter 2. The first thing I want you to know, in Luke chapter 2 verse 12, it says this, "And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." And the first thing I want you to know about the story is the babe. The babe. The Bible said, "This shall be a sign unto you, a babe." And God's, when God got ready to appear on the scene, and mankind got ready, and God said, "I'm going to give you a sign." And He said, "That sign's going to be a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And you think about that, far as man's natural thought, that's not much of a sign there. Babies are born every day. 132 million babies are born each year. 251 babies are born each minute. By the time I got started this service to now, 22,500 new babies have come into the world. And God said, "It's going to be a sign unto you, and it's going to be a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And He said, "That's the sign." You know, mankind's always looking for a sign. They're looking for something. They're searching for something. Mankind, they built the Hubble telescope, you know. And they built that telescope, Miss Martha, and they can kind of look in the universe, Miss Rachel, and they go way out in the universe, millions of years they talk about, and they're looking for God. They're looking for that God particle. They're looking for the God factor, they call it. They get on their microscopes, and they look at the DNA and look at the cells, trying to find the God factor. And they're seeking for a sign, and they're looking for something to find God. And God said, "Hey, I'm going to show you a sign, and that sign's going to be a baby." Man's looking for the big bang. God sent the big bang, and it was a baby. To mankind, you know what that was? That was a dud. You know what man wants to see, Miss Rachel? They want to see something great and glorious and spectacular. They want to see something to just dazzle the eyes. They'd like to see God come down here in the clouds and with a rainbow and the diadem. And one day He will. But brother, that time when He come, He said, "This will be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." You know if men wrote that book and God was getting ready to come on the scene, they wouldn't have a baby lying in a manger. They'd have a spectacular light show and all the rainbow and all the diadems and all the diamonds and all the streets of gold and everything you could name to dazzle the eye. But when God said, "Hey, this will be a sign unto you, you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Man's looking for something big. And God reached out there and brings a baby in the world. Kind of reminds me of a 1 Kings 19 over there with Elijah. Elijah's over there looking for God. And he said, "And the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." And it said the Lord was not in the rock. He was not in the wind. "And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake." He was looking for something big. "And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire." And it said, "And after this, there was a still, small voice." We looked for an earthquake. We're looking for something big. And God sent a still, small voice of a little baby. "And that should be a sign unto you. You should find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And that little baby, I want you to know something about that little baby. That little baby that was lying in that manger was the creator of this universe. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, how that God was manifest in the flesh." John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And it goes on to say, "All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made." And that little baby that came in there, and God came in the world, the creator of the universe, God Almighty in the flesh, He came that day as a little baby. Wow. You know what we're looking for? Man's looking for something big and large. And God says, "Hey, when I come, this sign will be unto you, a little baby." J.C. Ryan, in the Gospel Luke commentary said this, "Let us admire the condescension of the Son of God. The heir of all things not only took our nature upon Him, but He took it in the most humbling form in which could have been assumed. He has condescension from earth, and He condescension from heaven down to earth as a little baby. You shall be assigned unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." When God got ready to do something, it was a still small voice of a baby. Luke chapter 2 says this, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And you think about it, it said it shall be to all people. If you wanted to speak to the world, if you wanted great joy, if you wanted good tidings, which shall be all to people, how would you do it? You'd do it with a baby, wouldn't you? You know what a baby would do? A baby will break down all barriers. It doesn't matter if that baby's black or white. It don't matter if it's Hispanic. It don't matter if it's a Democrat or Republican. It don't matter anything about that baby, if it's poor or rich. It don't matter if it's a Russian, American, or Chinese. Every one of those little babies, you know what they do? They bring good tidings and great joy to all people. God wants to speak to us. Right, speak to us. When He come down here in a sign, He said it's going to be a babe lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. There's the babe. That babe to speak to all of us. That babe can bring a smile. A baby can cross all borders. A babe can appear to all people. I preached a message October 12, 2014. It was called, "It Took a Man." It took a man. You know what, God, this message can be called? It took a baby. It took a baby to speak. When God said, okay, the sign to be, this sign shall be a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. When I got thinking about that, more I thought about it, that's exactly the sign we needed, was a babe lying, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That little baby was the hope, and the one and only hope of mankind was a baby lying in a manger. Not only do I see the babe, I see something else there. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Luke chapter 2, verse 7, there's the babe. "And there shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger." It says this, "Because there was no room for them in the inn." I preached a message about that. Preached several of them through the years about it. There's no room for Jesus. I mean, it's amazing today, even today. We're supposed to be celebrating His birthday. Christmas is the birth of Christ. And yet they won't even let you mention to Him in His carols. They have Christmas plays at Farley Brown. I've given to you up here in Sunday school some of the news items. How that they won't even let Him quote Luke chapter 2 in schools anymore. You can't even call it a Christmas tree. It's a holiday tree. They can't even mention the colors of red and green because it reminds them of the birth of Christ some way. No room for the inn. Not only where the babe, but there was the barn. Jesus Christ, the Bible said there was no room for the inn, and He was born in a barn. There's a little girl, a Jewish girl, she's 9 months pregnant. She's 9 months pregnant, and you would have thought someone would have stepped aside, Miss Liz, and said, hey, she can have my room. You know, there's somebody decent enough, Brother Alonzo, when she came in there, a little girl, probably 15, 16 years old, and 9 months pregnant, and somebody would have said, hey, let her have my room. No, brother, they had to go to the barn for Jesus Christ to be born. You know, they traveled. The Bible says this. Joseph went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth in Judea into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. He had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem on foot or a donkey. You know how far that was? That was 90 miles. 90 miles Mary had to travel, her and Joseph, to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. You know what that'd be like traveling, you ladies, for you to walk from Springville to Montgomery? How would you like to walk from Springville to Montgomery with a baby 9 months pregnant? But that's what she did. And when she got there, there was no room in the inn for Him. There was no room for Jesus Christ. And He was born in a barn. He made the world and everything in it. And yet, when it came to His birth, there wasn't any room for Him. He was born in a barn. He said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, He said, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay His head." came to this world. He was the God manifest in the flesh. He was the brightness of the glory of God, the Bible says. And yet the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it said, "For He became poor that we might be rich, and through His poverty you and I might be rich." He was born in a barn. You know what people say sometimes? And when they want to cut you down and denigrate you, you know what they'll say? They'll say, "Hey, what's wrong with you, boy? Was you born in a barn?" You know what that means? I looked it up. Urban Dictionary. It means that you're uncultured. It means that you're kind of rude and uncultured. It means you have the behavior of a barn animal. That's what that means. That's where he was born. People say, "Were you born in a barn or something?" Yeah. He was born in a barn. That's where he was born. There when he was born in a barn, it showed how low he was. But I got thinking about that thing. Where else? Where else would a lamb be born but in a barn? No, lambs aren't born in the rooms of men. John, when he came on the scene, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Genesis chapter 22, when Isaac took his son up there, when Abraham took Isaac to offer him, and he laid it down there, and Isaac said, "Father, where's the lamb?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself for a lamb." And brother, Jesus was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Where else would a lamb be born but in a barn? Everything about His life foretold what He was going through. Isaiah 53:7 said He was a lamb led to the slaughter. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." Listen, brother, He's called the Lamb of God all through the book of Revelation. Hey, where else would a lamb be born but in a barn? Lambs aren't born in the inn. Final book of the Word of God is mentioned, the lamb's mentioned 29 times there about Jesus Christ. Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." Revelation 5:13, "Blessings and honor and glory to Him that sitteth on the throne and the Lamb." And the Lamb is the bright, the light of that city over and over. You know what the Bible is? It's a story of a lamb. And you know where lambs are born? They're born in a barn. So what's wrong with you, preacher? You born in a barn? He was. I heard about a man one time, he got down on his luck, lost his job and all that kind of stuff. Kind of a drunkard. Woke up one morning. When he woke up, felt something soft laying next to him. Woke up, reached over there. What was it? Moo, moo, moo. It was a cow. And he's sleeping in the barn. He's laying in the barn. Barns don't smell too good, by the way, if you've ever been around one. And you can smell the stench of that barn. He thought, "Man, I have really gone low in life. Here I am sleeping in a barn with these animals." And his stomach began to growl, and he said, "Boy, I'm hungry. I need to go get something. I think I'll go see my buddy Jim to see if he maybe give me a meal." And he said, No. Jim told me, "Don't come back here anymore. I don't want to see you." He thought, "Well, I'm going to go see my sister Sue." And she said, "No." She said, "Don't come around my house anymore. You've just gone too far." He thought to himself, "Man, I've really gone far in life. I've lost all my friends and everything now." And he said, "Here I am sleeping in a barn with these animals. That's how far I've gone." And about that time, he heard the church bells ring. And he heard them singing, "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down His sweet head." And he got thinking himself, he said, "You know, I'm not the only guy that slept in a barn." He said, "I'm not the only one that slept with the cattle." He said, "Maybe He came down this world and was born in a barn like that." He said, "Maybe to reach an old poor sinner like me." You know why He was born in a barn, came down this earth, and born there to reach a poor old sinner like me? There was a babe. There was a barn. Where else would a lamb be born but in a barn? I'll tell you something else about it. There's a benediction. You know what the word benediction means? It means a pronouncement with a blessing and favor or grace. A lot of times we'll say, "Hey, Brother Chris, take the benediction before we leave." That's an announcement of blessings of God. And there's the benediction of the Son of God. Take your Bible, look over Luke chapter 2. When God the Father got ready to announce the birth of His Son and tell the world about His birth of His Son, you know who He got? He didn't get King Herod. He didn't go to Caesar Augustus. He didn't go to the Jewish Sanhedrin. He didn't go to the press. He didn't go to the news. He didn't make the world. When the benediction and the praise and the announcement, the broadcast of His Son to be born in the world, look who He got. You'll never guess. You'll never guess who He picked to announce the birth of His Son. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. They were so afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for you is born this day in the city of David." I got some, brother. City of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And verse 14, it came to pass, the angel were gone away. The shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass." And verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God. You know who God got to have His benediction and announce His Son? Shepherds. You say, why would it shepherds? Because He was a lamb. That's the only time, Miss Annie Mae, shepherds are mentioned in the New Testament. You know that? Now, Jesus is mentioned as the great shepherd, but there are no shepherds mentioned. No other time in the New Testament. That's it. None of the apostles are shepherds. They're commercial fishermen, they're publican, tax collectors, all kinds. But none of them are shepherds. The only time shepherds are mentioned is when God got ready to announce the world and broadcast to the world the birth of His Son. He said, "I want these shepherds to do it." You say, why? Because He's a lamb. Shepherds announce the broadcast of the lamb. And Charlie Brown, that's what Christmas is all about. There's the babe. There's the barn. There's the benediction. And not only that, there's His bed. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Luke chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "And He was brought forth the firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." Luke 2:12, "This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." I tell you, I was probably 40 years old or 35 years old before I ever knew even what a manger was. You know what I thought it was? A bed. What I thought it was. I didn't know what a manger was. It wasn't after I got saved, started studying the Bible, realized what a manger was, and I went, "Wow! You know what a manger is? It's a feeding trough for animals. That's what it is." What it is. The word manger is a Latin word. It means to feed. That's what it means. And His bed was a manger. Was a feeding trough for animals. We've had three children. And they were born in the hospitals. And I remember when Sarah Lee was born. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful day. I remember Brother Alonzo, I couldn't hardly sleep. I was so worried about having a child. Listen, Jane, I wondered, Miss Rachel, if I could actually love a little child like I knew I had to do. Because that child just totally is totally dependent on you. And brother, they gave me that 6 pounds and 14 ounces of pure joy. I knew I didn't have to worry about it. Love at first sight, man. And I remember in the hospital that day, down at Sacred Heart, and she was born, and I can remember that, how clean everything was, and how those nurses took that little baby girl, that little Sarah Lee, and they cleaned her up, and she looked so pretty, and they were taken care of, and everything was so clean, Miss Martha, and it was so beautiful, and everything was white, and I was sitting there just thinking how good this is, and the Lord tapped me on the shoulder. He said, "Hey." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Isn't that something, how they're taking care of your little baby?" I said, "They sure are. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it nice how clean they were?" I said, "Thank you, Lord." He said, "That wasn't that way when my son was born. Wasn't that clean? I didn't have people running around. When my son came in the world, you know what Mary did? The only thing she could find, she took that little baby boy, the Son of God, and laid him in the feeding trough of animals. How would you like to have your baby born? Put it out there in Rebel's dish out there and lay it out there in the feeding trough of an animal." That's where he was. She laid him in a manger. And I got thinking about that. That word manger means to feed. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. That song, Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing. And a baby awakes. The little Lord Jesus, no crying He makes. You say, where is He born? His bed was a manger. In the feeding trough for animals. And look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6, here's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. John chapter 6, verse 32. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Moses gave unto you bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then say they unto Him, Lord, give us evermore this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on Me hath everlasting life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Verse 49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I shall give him is flesh and the flesh, life of the world. And I got thinking about that. Where else would the bread of life be born, brother? But in a manger. Where else will the one that would feed the world that said, I'm the living bread of a man, eat of Me, he'll never hunger. Where else would He be born at but in a manger, the feeding trough for the world? He was born in a manger. Where else would He be born? Not only that, take your Bible, turn over to Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2. There was His bed. He was born in a manger. You know why? He was the bread of life. You know why He was born in a barn? Because He was the Lamb of God. You know why the shepherds gave His benediction? Because He was the Lamb of God. Not only that, look at Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 says this. Matthew 2 1 says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod. Verse 4, Matthew 2, 4, And when He had gathered all the chief and scribes together, He had demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said unto Him, Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is it written by the prophet, And now Bethlehem in the land of Judah, be not the least, the prince of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, shall rule My people. That's Micah chapter 5, verse 2. See, it was prophesied, and it was foretold before Jesus was ever born, that Jesus Christ would be born in the town of Bethlehem. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. How still we see they lie. You say, what's significant about Bethlehem? Well, the word Beth is a Hebrew word for house. We heard the phrase Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. El is from the Elohim. Beth-El, house of God. And the word Bethlehem is the word Beth. And that word Lehim, you know what it is? Bread. Bethlehem means He was born in the house of bread. Where else would the bread of life be born but laying in a manger, the feeding trough? Where else would the bread of life be born but in the house of bread in Bethlehem that God foretold thousands of years in the book of Micah? That's where He was to be born. He was prepared and prophesied. You say, why? He was the bread of life that'll feed the world. Bethlehem means house of prayer. We saw John chapter 6. He said, I am that living bread that came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread I give My flesh, which he shall never hunger. And I'm going to tell you, brother, I got a taste of that bread 45 years ago. And I've never had to go back and say, God, it didn't work. I've been satisfied. I've not had any spiritual hunger since. It's satisfied. He was born in a manger because He was the bread of life. He was born in the Bethlehem, the house of bread. There was His birth. There was a barn. There was a benediction. There was the bed. There was the Bethlehem that foretold and told and told about this Savior that would come in the world. For you is born in the day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Not only that, I see one more thing this morning. There's His birth. He come in this world as a baby. There's the barn. There's his benediction, the shepherds. There's his bed, a manger, the bread of life, and where he was birthplace, Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2 verse 7 says this. Luke chapter 2 verse 7 says this. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. There's his burial. I looked up the word swaddling clothes in my dictionary. And swaddling clothes says this, clothes consisting of long, narrow strips of cloth for straddling an infant or for bearing an individual. Jesus Christ was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was born and wrapped in the same tight clothes that one day he'd be buried in. There's his burial. I looked up the word wrap. The word wrap appears, has two instances in the New Testament. Take your Bible, turn over to Matthew 27, get Mark 15. Matthew 27, go to Mark 15, there's his burial. Bible said they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Those swaddling clothes were linen cloths and strips of linen. They wrapped the Lord Jesus Christ. There was his burial. That was the same thing that he was buried in. Matthew 27:59 says, and when Joseph had taken the body, it said he wrapped it in clean linen cloth. Mark 15:46, and brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen. And that's more than just taking a piece of linen, a one piece, like you see the Shroud of Turin. That's not the body. That's not the burial of Jesus Christ. It wasn't one piece like that. Take your Bible, flip over to John chapter 19 real quick. There's his burial. He was buried. He was born in the same clothes, tight clothes, that he was going to be buried in. You say why? Because this baby had one reason to come to this earth, to die. He was born to die. That was his purpose. He said, I've come to seek and save that which is lost in Luke 19:10. The only way in the world he could save us is to die. Luke 2:11, for you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The only way in the world he can be a Savior is die for our sins. Look at John chapter 19. John chapter 19 says this. It was more than just wrapping a single cloth. John 19:40, talking about the Lord Jesus. And they took away the body of Jesus and wound it. They wound it up. Wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as a manner of the Jews is. Dr. Rugman writes in his Gospel of Luke commentary, as she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. The swaddle means to wrap something tight as you would with a bandage. Swaddling clothes were brought linen strips of cloth like bandages that were wrapped around a baby to keep the child warm. By the way, they were wrapped around the body. It was like a mummy. This baby, he said, was born to die. That's what Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea did to Jesus when he died. They took the body of Jesus, they wound it in linen clothes and the spices, the manner of Jews. So this baby had one reason to live, and it came in this world to die. There's his burial. Look at John chapter 19, verse 39 says this. John 19:39, one verse where we read. It said they came to Nicodemus, which was came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes. That's what they took, and they had taken, bound Jesus Christ in was myrrh. If you remember the three gifts of the wise men, it was gold and frankincense and myrrh. I preached about that a few years ago. That gold was a picture of the deity of Jesus Christ. And frankincense was a sweet smell of his sinless life to God. And that myrrh was a picture of the suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. There when the three wise men came, it showed the death of the Lord Jesus. That song we sing, we three kings of Orient are. Myrrh is mine, this bitter perfume. Breathe a life of gathering gloom. Sorrow, sighing, bleeding, dying. Sealed in a cold stone tomb. That myrrh was a picture of the death of Jesus Christ. There's his burial. Take your Bible. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, get Romans chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 2, Romans chapter 5. Jesus Christ came in this world to die. And throughout His life, even at His burial, His death was lurking there. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. God has given me and my wife three beautiful children. Oh man, I love my kids and love my grandkids. And I'll tell you something right now. I didn't bring them in the world to kill them. You know why God brought His Son into the world? To kill Him for you and I. That's what He was born for. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 says this. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. You know why He was made? To suffer the death. Crowned with glory and honor by the grace of God, He should taste death for every man. The reason He was made to come in this world was to die for you and I. Look at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also likewise took a part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of the death, that is the devil. Jesus Christ came in this world to die, and the swaddling clothes when He was born was a picture of His burial, what He would die in. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I could give you so many verses. Jesus Christ came in this world to die. Came in this world, that beautiful little baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And those swaddling clothes was a picture of His death. In the same clothes, tight clothes, He was buried in. I heard an illustration one time about a young girl that got saved. She was a teenage girl. She just got saved. She was standing there at a nativity scene, and it showed Jesus Christ there in the manger and had the cattle there. And she was watching that, and as she was watching it, the way the sun cast a shadow that night, and when the sun cast a shadow and the beams went like had a cross like this, and that cross was right on that little baby. And she is watching, looking at that nativity scene, and she saw that, and tears begin to come out from her eyes, and she began to weep, and somebody come to her, and they said, "Are you okay? Is everything okay?" And she said, "Yeah." But she said, "Look at that. Look at that. You can see that cross on the face of that baby." And she said, "Even at His birth, the shadow of the cross was lurking there." He came in this world, friend, to die. There's His burial. There's those swaddling clothes. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commanded His love, yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more now, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Watch in verse 10. For yet we were enemies. When we were enemies of God, we were enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. You know what that sign was? This shall be a sign unto you. And you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Those swaddling clothes, they were a picture of His burial. The only way in the world, brethren, He could reconcile me and you to God is for Him to die on the cross. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When He brought that baby in the world, the Bible said He was foreordained. 1 Peter 1:18, it said He was foreordained before the foundation of this world to die as that lamb. He was born to die. According to Jewish tradition and historians, I've studied this on the internet. Back in those days when people would travel, and they would travel great distances, they traveled 93 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And they go up the mountains, and they go there, thieves and robbers, and it was a dangerous deal for them to do. And when they travel, one of the things that they would carry with them is their burial clothes. And they would wrap the cloth. You've ever might have seen pictures of them. They'd wrap that cloth around their waist. You see that cloth in pictures, and they'd have it wrapped around. And what that was their burial cloths. That was because if they was to die on the way to those trips, they couldn't go back to be buried. And they would take the cloth and wrap it up and the spices and bury them right there, traveling the road. And they say, historians and them have suggested, that the cloth that Jesus Christ was wrapped in, those swaddling clothes, was the burial clothes of Joseph. That's what they wrapped Him in. It's interesting, when He was born, He was wrapped in the linen cloth of Joseph. When He died, He was buried in the tomb of Joseph. There's his burial. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Greatest gift the world's ever seen was in that manger. I heard an illustration a few weeks ago of an old preacher, Leroy Wright, told this, and I looked it up on the internet, got a little bit more information on it. He talked about during World War II, Brother Ben, when people have a soldier in the war, what they would do if they had a son in the war, fighting in the war, they had a husband or somebody, they'd put an American flag in the window. And when you walk by that house, people would walk a lot back in those days. You walk by that house and you look in the window, there'd be an American flag, a little American flag in that window that would tell you that that house has somebody in it that's fighting the war. And if they had two sons or three sons, that had two flags or three flags. But for everybody that they had fighting the war, they'd put a flag in their window. And people would walk by and they'd see the flag and say, "Look there, they got some soldiers in the war." And it just so happened that one of those soldiers was there and they were killed in battle, what they would do, they'd put a gold star on that flag. Known as the gold star families, that's where it's come from. And if somebody had died in the service, they'd put a gold star on that flag. And when they'd walk by the house and see that, they'd know that somebody in that house probably had a son that died in service in their country. So they had somebody that gave it all in that house. A little boy and his dad was walking through the neighborhood one day, and a little boy is about 5 or 6 years old, and he was walking through the neighborhood one night, and the little boy looked up and he said, "Dad, what are those flags in the window for?" And he explained, he said, "Son, those flags are people that have a son or a husband or someone in the war. They're fighting in the war." And he walked a little bit further, and there was one that had a gold star on it. And his son said, "Dad, what's the gold star for?" And son, that's somebody that had a son that died in the service. That's a son, they had a son that gave their life for this country. And he kept walking a little bit longer. And it was a dark night, and the little boy looked up in the sky. There was a North Star just blinking. He looked up at that star and he said, "Dad, that must mean God had a son that died in service." You know what he had? He had a son that died in service. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And Charlie Brown, that's what Christmas is all about. Let's take our hymn books this morning before we leave. Let's turn them to Sing Away in a Manger. Take our green hymn books. Turn to page 433. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus.